Luann Elgoso, Pamela Santos, and myself, Sari Gamethe. You can download segments of this and other shows at our website, apacompass.wordpress.com. If you have a story idea or want to pitch an angry APA minute, leave us a message on our Facebook page, APA Compass Radio, or tweet us at APA Compass. This is APA Compass. Thanks for listening.
Being weird, Portland is becoming known in the tech industry as a city that fosters innovation. Many people working in the industry believe that new technology can solve problems, including social and environmental problems. Tune in this Friday at 11 a.m. for Disruptive Technologies and Human Design, part 4 of Startup City, how the new tech boom is changing Portland.
Tune in every Friday at 3 p.m. for Roots of Rock and Roll. Dale Farr and Steve Bricker play rare and vintage records from rhythm and blues, jump blues, rockabilly, and doo-wop. From the birth of rock and roll, the 50s and early 60s. Roots of Rock and Roll, only on KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 10.03 a.m. We're going straight to Flashpoints, right here on your community radio.
Millions of undocumented workers doing this country's hardest work and getting abused for the privilege. Also, on the side of the road, a new film about the illegal Israeli occupation of Palestine and what is called Jewish amnesia about it. And an extended field report on the new Occupy the Farm film about the farmers' march to occupy land owned by the University of California and turn it into an organic farm. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, President Obama had a big surprise for the United States, for the Republicans yesterday. At a press conference, he announced that he plans to go forward unilaterally using his powers as president to move on some version of immigration reform. And we want to talk about that now with Megan Ortiz. Megan Ortiz is a LA-based independent media maker and organizer. And, well, she's been watching this very closely. First of all, Megan, were you surprised to hear the president announce this at the press conference?
Actually, I'd like to counter the idea, and thank you, Dennis, for having me on again. I'd like to counter the idea that he made a surprise announcement. The idea of President Obama taking executive action on immigration has actually been a promise that he's repeated multiple times, especially to that key Latino vote, which he and many other Democrats were actually really surprised in terms of them not having the impact in the midterm elections on Tuesday. So his promise to move unilaterally was actually something that Obama had promised he would do prior to the midterm elections. Then he decided that he was going to hold off. And this was a strategy decision because Obama thought that moving forward on immigration action from the executive office would actually hurt the Democrats who are running for midterm elections. His strategy and the Democratic strategy overall clearly did not work because Democrats still weren't able to maintain a majority in the Senate. So now the pressure is on Obama once again to see if he will really go forward with his promise of taking executive action. And also, so I think it's important to note that another thing that Obama did say at yesterday's press conference was that he said that he would be willing to sign a bill if, you know, the Republican-controlled Congress put forth a common-sense comprehensive immigration reform bill. We have to remember that last summer, the summer of 2013, there was a Senate immigration bill passed that was a bipartisan bill. So there's already a bill that's been presented, and congressional House members rejected that bill, saying it wasn't strong enough on border security. So, I mean, I think we can't act like any of the promises that came out of yesterday are actually new. In fact, they're a repetition of things that we've already heard before throughout the term of the Obama administration.
Now, what powers, if he is serious on this round, and many people were devastated by his willingness to set this kind of important fight for humane immigration reform aside, people were disturbed is not even a strong enough word. So here he is again. What if he decides this time to keep his promise? What could he do, and what would really make a difference at this point?
I think what the demand has been is that, and the most likely thing that he could do and the thing that would appease the most people would be an expansion of the deferred action for childhood arrivals, meaning that those young people who came with their parents as children to the United States undocumented be given an opportunity to actually permanently change their status, because current DACA is actually only temporary for 2 years. And the request is that the Obama administration extend this DACA program to the family members of those millions who have already applied, some who have become eligible for this 2-year reprieve. So I think that's one of the things that people are asking for. I know people hate the word amnesty, so I think the preferred term being used is relief, so that there can be some sort of legalization process for those undocumented already in the United States. Will that actually happen? That's a different issue. Already there are rumors coming out of the Beltway, both by politicos and nonprofit organizations on the ground, that Obama is actually looking at excluding the parents of DACA recipients and just focusing on the young people who have so far been approved for DACA. So those are the two main possibilities, some sort of DACA expanded or just already to the young people who have already been given that status.
Could you talk a little bit about the amount of people, how many or what level of the population has been affected by Obama's failure to act. How many people have been hurt by this endless delay, this setting aside of these crucial concerns by millions of brown people? And, well, let's respond to that.
Well, I think I'm glad you asked that question, Dennis, because when Obama decided to delay taking executive action right before the midterm election, you know, the estimate being put out there just based on the current deportation levels, and we're talking about 400,000 people annually, just based on that, we're talking at about almost 70 to 80,000 people who potentially have been put into deportation or have been deported since the delay. And obviously, this is only counting people whose families speak out, whose families that we know about. So the number is probably much higher. So we're probably looking at about at least 100,000 people who are immediately affected. This obviously is just a small portion of the estimated 11 million undocumented in the United States who continue to live in fear of, you know, being detained and or deported. In the meantime, while Obama has delayed taking executive action, there's talk of opening a new family detention center to house parents and their children. And this is happening at the same time while Obama, you know, is talking about the quote-unquote crisis of undocumented Central American refugee children. At the same time, he's opening up a new detainment center run by a private corporation with, you know, ties to larger prison industries. So again, while immediately we may be talking about 70,000 to 100,000, the impact of every day that Obama does not do something is thousands and thousands more of the 11 million.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Megan Ortiz. She is based in Los Angeles, independent filmmaker, media maker, and is very tuned in on this issue of humane immigration reform and that private prison being built by Corrections Corporation of America. I mean, these are huge sums of money. That's an interesting setup because it's being run out of Arizona. And it's hard to understand how a small town in Arizona becomes the sort of hub for this massive jail. And, well, where is this? Is this in Texas they're going to build this jail?
Well, no, Texas was where the other one was closed, and I can't actually remember the location of the new one.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit about sort of the underlying motivation of this. Some people say, well, the reason he delayed is because it would have been worse. You know, he was hoping that more Democrats would be elected and it would be ultimately a better environment to get immigration, humane immigration reform. Now people are very cynical and thinking the only reason he's may act or do anything is because when the presidential election comes around, it may very well be like the last one, that brown people make the difference.
Well, I think it's interesting we're talking about, you know, brown people making the difference and this sort of iconic sleeping giant Latino vote that always comes up every election cycle, whether we're talking about midterm or presidential. And I think, you know, historically, there's been this assumption by the Democrats that Latinos are going to support them no matter what, because, you know, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And in this case, I mean, let's just look at Colorado, for example, in this midterm election. That completely backfired for the Democrats because, you know, Senator Udall, you know, lost in Colorado. And I think the issue that's going to be interesting, and now all the, you know, the post-election analysis is, you know, why Latinos didn't show up in those numbers. Latinos were overwhelmingly, you know, the backbone of Obama winning both terms. And I think this time, you know, we're looking at their recent polls that come out by Latino Decisions, other organizations saying, look, A, Latinos weren't outreached to the levels they were in past elections, midterms and presidentials. So I think there was this very dangerous assumption by the Democrats that, oh, Latinos are always going to have our back. And I think a less analyzed thing is how much did this immigration delay actually keep Latinos from actually voting? So I think that's another aspect of it. I think the strategy clearly backfired, and it's going to be interesting now Obama is lame duck. Is he actually going to take a bold move, or is it going to be sort of the same kowtowing to the GOP and also the more right-wing elements within the Democratic Party?
And it is also going to be interesting now that we see on the rise one bilingual Jeb Bush with his bilingual, bicultural son and children. He's going to be out there speaking a lot of Spanish.
Yeah, and I think there's a term that's been going around in the media for a lot of time. We call it hispandering, right? Hispanic pandering.
Yes. Yeah.
And we see it, right? And I don't even like the term Hispanic, but I mean, it verbally it fits well. But I think we see this from both the Democrats and the Republicans. And I think, honestly, this actually is an opportunity for the GOP because they're going to see. They did see, right, that there may be space for them. And honestly, I don't, and people hate when I say this, but I don't know how much worse, you know, people want things to get under the Democrats before we look at other alternatives. And I'm not just talking about GOP, I'm talking about even third party alternatives, right, to the structure that we have now, because the Democrats clearly have failed the Latino community and the immigrant community at large. We have to, you know, yes, we talk about brown communities and immigration is largely racialized and ethnicized as a Latino issue, but we have a huge, you know, South Asian, East Asian, growing immigrant population in the United States, African and Afro-Caribbean populations who are facing the same issues. So if we sort of look beyond Democrats and Republicans, I think that's going to be also an interesting space where some new ideas can come from.